Deuteronomy chapter 8, beginning with verse 1. Hear now the word of the Lord. Be careful to follow every command I am giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land the Lord promised on oath to your ancestors. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years, to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out, and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. Observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in obedience to him and revering him, for the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with brooks, streams, and deep springs gushing out into the valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce, and you will lack nothing, a land where the rocks are iron, and you can dig copper out of the hills. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large, and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful wilderness, that thirsty and waterless land, with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the wilderness, something your ancestors had never known, to humble and test you, so that in the end it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, "My power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me." But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is today. Praise be to God for this reading of his word today. Prosperity intoxicates us all, said that great church reformer, John Calvin, in his commentary on Deuteronomy chapter 8. What does intoxicate mean? Well, it means to get drunk. In other words, prosperity has a tendency to make us loopy sometimes. That's what makes it difficult to preach in North America, to preach on the Lord's Prayer petition, which says, "Give us this day our daily bread." Living in the breadbasket of the world makes this part of the Lord's Prayer seem, well, irrelevant, not applicable. Give us this day our daily bread, for many of us, is like saying, "Lord, give us enough air to breathe today." Well, we just always expect there's going to be enough air to breathe. And for many of us, we always expect, well, yeah, there's going to be enough food to eat today. Sure, times get tough when we have to sacrifice sometimes. We have to cancel our cable and our newspaper subscriptions. We have to take more modest vacations or stay home for our vacation. Maybe we're forced to buy the generic foods at the grocery store more than we like. But rarely are many of us forced to sacrifice a meal or two every day. So does this make this petition of the Lord's Prayer irrelevant for us? Should we just cut it out or change it? What would Jesus mean for us today by this part of the Lord's Prayer? Give us this day our daily bread. We try hard to keep this fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer meaningful for us today, and so a lot of people try to spiritualize it and say that, well, the bread means spiritual bread. the Word of God. Give us the Word today, Lord. Many of you have read or you read the devotions, our daily bread, the spiritual devotions. We spiritualize the request because it's hard for many of us to actually pray for the real thing, to pray for bread in meaningful ways. But at a closer look, I think this petition opens up the whole category of everything we need physically. And that's what we're praying for, everything we need physically. It seems like God wants us to bring before him our concerns and our needs that are very earthy and intimate for us. There are two major sections of the Lord's Prayer, the Your requests and the Us requests. The Your requests go like this: Your name be honored, Your kingdom come, God, Your will be done. Your kingdom, Your name, Your kingdom, and Your will, Lord. The second major section is the Us requests, and it goes like this: Give us our daily bread, forgive us our debts, deliver us from evil. Give us, forgive us, deliver us. The Your requests and the Us requests. Well, today we're transitioning from that vertical part of the Lord's Prayer, the Your requests, to the horizontal part of the Lord's Prayer, the Us requests, where we're praying for our individual needs. We pray, give us, Lord. But we do well to remember that the Lord's Prayer doesn't begin with the fourth request. We begin with God's name being honored, then we move to God's kingdom being established, and then we go to God's will being done on earth as it is in heaven. And then once we have those priorities straight, then we can rightly pray for our needs, the Us requests of the Lord's Prayer. So there's no need to spiritualize this request. We are indeed praying for our own personal, physical needs. Jesus teaches us to do so. But if we're covered on the culinary front, like so many of us Americans, if we live in the midst of caloric abundance, in the middle of the breadbasket, with gastric bypass surgeries and the like, how can we pray and mean it? Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Our catechism teaches us that the meaning of this request is by telling us two things. And I want to read that now. You'll find the words in your bulletins of Lord's Day 50 of the Heidelberg Catechism. I'll read the question if we'll respond together with the answer. What does the fourth request mean? Give us today our daily bread means do take care of all of our physical needs so that we come to know that you are the only source of everything good and that neither our work and worry nor your gifts can do us any good without your blessing. And so help us to give up our trust in creatures and to put our trust in you alone. So it tells us two things. One, it means that we are asking God to indeed take care of our physical needs, not just food. And secondly, we're asking God to help us trust him and to trust him alone. Two simple tasks, easy to understand, not always easy to do or to remember. First, God, please take care of my physical needs. That's the first part of what it means to pray, give us this day our daily bread. God, please take care of my physical needs. Again, when it comes to the culinary delights, most of us have had our fill. And if you haven't, stick around today. You'll have your fill at the harvest dinner, for sure. But what's there to pray for? God, I've got this in the bag. My freezer is packed with pork. My pantry is plush. And if I need anything, Meijer, Walmart, Aldi, in our small town, just right down the road from us, I can get it from there. So how do we pray with integrity and honesty? Lord, please take care of my physical needs. I mean, do we really know what the Catechism says, that God is the only source of everything good, and that neither our work nor worry nor God's gifts can do us any good without his blessing? Sure, I pray, thank you, God, for my food this day, but do I really worry that it's going to be there in the morning or that it won't be there in the morning? Most of us probably don't, although millions in the world do. There's no guarantee that the food's going to be there the next day. There are so many times in Deuteronomy 8 where Moses tells the covenant people of God to remember. Remember. Don't forget the Lord. Don't forget the Lord your God. Remember the Lord who led you through the desert. Remember the Lord who gave you manna from heaven. Remember the Lord who brought you water out of hard rock. Remember the promises of God to bring you into a good land where the natural resources are just going to overwhelm your senses and satiate your stomachs. There will be plenty of water. Food will just grow naturally wherever you are. It'll be as if the grapevines were just starting to grow between your toes, because that's just how abundant the food's going to be in this land. Remember those promises of God. In verse 9, it says, a land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing. A land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. And copper is still being dug out of the hills of Israel, by the way. And then it says in verses 17 and 18, then you may come to say to yourself, that is, when you build these nice houses and stock your cupboards and you graduate from college and you get your dream job, you may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. There he is again, but remember. Remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your forefathers. It is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. Moses knows something here. He knows the nature of humanity, I think. He can see the people, and he's warning them before they go into the promised land. He's warning them, you're going to eat, and you're going to eat, and you're going to eat. And you're going to get fat and numb and lazy when it comes to following the Lord. They're going to become intoxicated by their prosperity. The temptation is that they're going to become loopy. And in their drunken stupor, they're going to begin to think that all of their prosperity and all of the natural resources is a result of their own intelligence and their own ingenuity alone. Amnesia is a very real danger when you're living in the land of plenty or in the middle of the breadbasket. Moses is saying, remember, people, God is the one from whom all blessings flow. Verse 10, when you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Remember to pray prayers of gratitude at the dinner table, to say thanks, to give thanks, to say grace. Because neither your work nor your worry can do you any good without God's blessing. So remember, these are the instructions Moses is giving to the people after the exodus from Egypt. This is post-slavery, post-wandering in the desert for 40 years, living in the land of plenty where bread will not be scarce and water will be everywhere, it'll be gushing out of the ground and food will be growing between your toes. It's probably sounds like a foreign concept to the people of God here before they get into the promised land, right? But in abundance, the people will forget their origins. As time goes by, as generations passed, people will forget that they came from slavery. They came from desert want and need. Remember this one simple fact Moses is telling the people, that it's the Lord who holds your life in his hands, not food. Not food. It's the Lord who holds your life in his hands. Food will do you no good without God's blessing. That's why we must pray, even in abundance, even in the middle of the bread basket, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Because as we pray In so doing, we are acknowledging God's grace. We're acknowledging our need for God's blessing. Walker Percy was a philosopher, and he defined, or told us, where the English word boredom comes from. It comes from a French word that means to stuff. And the more stuffed we are with the riches of life, it seems, the more bored we get. Having everything, we still feel the need to try something new, to liven things up. Sometimes we're bored to the point we don't even know how good we've got it today. Praying for our daily bread reminds us of our utter dependence on God for food, and it reminds us to thank Him for it. More than that, when we pray the prayer, "Lord, give us this day our daily bread," we also remember so many people in the world who desperately pray this prayer, and they mean it, because they need their daily bread, and they don't know where their food is coming from tonight or tomorrow or the next day or next week. Fusion cooking might be a good example of how bored we tend to get when we get overstuffed and we need to start playing with our food. Fusion cooking is like taking a classic French dish and mixing in Mexican spices or something like that. Now, of course, there's nothing wrong with variety, and God loves variety, and I love variety and food and other things too. But how good have we got it when we can start playing with our food and even take basic food prep and turn it into these dramatic TV shows? There are so many of these TV shows out there. Are we at all able to enjoy the simple things in life? Many people say with disdain, "Oh, he's just a meat and potatoes man." Anything wrong with meat and potatoes? Anything wrong with just a simple meal every once in a while? Can we enjoy, can we genuinely praise God and thank Him for a bland meal every once in a while, just as we thank Him for the big feasts that we have? Maybe the fourth request of the Lord's Prayer should slow us down from our mindless eating habits. Maybe it should wake us up and open our eyes to see the blessings in our daily lives and remember there's so many who even in our own country don't have enough bread to eat. Praying this prayer may remind us of these things, and if we do, it reminds us that we do need to eat every day. And if we need to eat every day and our plates are full every day, three times a day or more, then maybe we can see, as we pray, the concrete expression of God's grace right in front of us, multiple times a day, as God is placing food right before us. Each time we see the dinner plate or the breakfast, we can say, it should cause us to declare, "God is taking care of me. Yes, God is taking care of me today. He's provided this for me today." God's grace is right there in that steaming bowl of mashed potatoes. God's grace is staring at me in that big piece of apple pie. God's grace is popping up in the morning, each morning in that toaster oven, in that toaster. Can we really appreciate the daily bread when we live inside the bread basket? I think we can if we practice the holy habit of praying with gratitude for all of the blessings God provides for us, oftentimes much more than we actually need or deserve. That's where we need to go next this morning. Appreciation, gratitude, and trust. And so we've prayed, "God, please take care of my physical needs." And the second part of what it means to pray, "Father, give us this day our daily bread," is what the Catechism says, "Help us to give up our trust in creatures and to put our trust in You alone." Help us, God, to trust You alone. To trust You alone. Again, how do we do that when the combines and the farmers and the supermarkets are so trustworthy? I mean, the only thing I really have to worry about is that my store is going to be out of my favorite yogurt, you know. But otherwise, there's food that's usually right there. Food when we need it. How do we link our dinner each night to God instead of our paycheck or our stocked cupboard or our pantries or the Truckers Union of America? You know, how do we point to God instead? Like I said, for millions of people, trusting in the omnipresence of food is not a given. Millions of people in the world have no need for these things we call Tupperware containers or old Cool Whip containers, because they don't open the door and they find what we call leftovers. Even the concept of leftovers is a foreign concept for so many. Abundance covers our eyes with a veil, says John Calvin. It dims our sight. On the other hand, he continues, deprivation and want, going without, purge and remove this dimness that we may more clearly perceive the benefits afforded us by God. Deprivation and want purge and remove this dimness that we may more clearly perceive the benefits afforded us by God. Have you ever gone without? Have you ever done without for a certain amount of time? Been really hungry? You learn to appreciate the little things. Your taste buds work better. You really can taste what that strawberry tastes like, or whatever else it is, because your senses are heightened. Moses reminds God's people of how God led them through the desert for 40 years. And he says, God did this in order to, verse 2, humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. A little further down, God did this in order to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And he tells them that God disciplines his children as parents discipline their children. In other words, he teaches us to trust. In times of want, in times of need, in dry times, in those hungry times, if you're going without right now, if you're in a season of want, maybe God is teaching us, giving us a lesson on trust. He takes away the things that we are really placing our trust in. Our gods, if we're honest enough to admit it, a job, a paycheck, food, education, good looks, whatever. And he sees what's in our hearts and whether we will really obey him and follow him even during troubled times, even during those dry times and those hungry times of life when we have to do without for a while. God knows that a severe sense of prideful independence is part of our fallen natures as people, and that dependence on him doesn't come naturally to us. Times of utter helplessness force us to pray and force us to trust, forces us to ask God for help. We learn that our life is truly and ultimately in the Lord's hands and not in our own hands or in our parents' hands or in the hands of some government agency. And we learn gratitude for the little things that do come our way. The veil is removed so we can see the blessings of God, so we can remember and be inspired to continue to live lives of obedience to the Word of God. And when things do go well, when we have fruitful seasons in life, when we're stuffed every night at dinner with a sweet treat to boot, we don't fall into that dreamy sleep and say, ah, I'm so good. I sure know how to make life work for me, don't I? No, but instead, may we fall into that contented state and express extreme gratitude to the Lord who gives us the ability to produce wealth and eat our fill and even provide for so many countries who don't have enough to feed their own citizens. Are we not blessed as a nation that we can provide all the food for ourselves and we can feed wild birds and other wild animals and we can throw a bunch of carrots and other things out in the woods so the deer will come over there and we can feed other nations? Aren't we so blessed? It amazes me as I think about that. Fasting in the desert, Jesus was tempted, or tested, if you will, with food. You have the power, Jesus, to turn these stones into bread, Satan told him. And Jesus quotes the Word of God. He quotes Deuteronomy chapter 8. It is written, he says, man does not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Jesus knew that his life didn't ultimately depend upon bread entering his mouth and being digested by his stomach as in his intestines in order to live, that his life ultimately was in the Father's hands. God held his life in his hands. Fasting or going without food for a certain amount of time for spiritual reasons can be a good spiritual habit for us too. That can help us remember that our ultimate source for life is God, not food, not our work or our worry. So we pray, God, please take care of my physical needs and help me to trust you alone. That's what it means to pray, give us this day our daily bread. And I think that praying with integrity and honesty, this fourth request, we can prevent the consequences of misplaced trust, idol worship, constructing gods of food or of self. Deuteronomy 8 warns us, the warning, amnesia could be hazardous to your health. Don't forget the Lord when you're in the breadbasket. Don't forget to follow his ways. Don't neglect to show due gratitude to him from whom all blessings necessarily come. I think the take-home message for today regarding this request, give us this day our daily bread, isn't to really pray for more food or more stuff or to spiritualize the prayer away. No, our take-home message today is to remember that all of our food, all of our stuff, all of our blessings ultimately come from the Lord, who's the owner of it all in the first place. He's the source. Like it says in verse 10, when you have eaten and you've had your fill and when you're stuffed to the gills with a good potluck or harvest dinner, then do what? Feel guilty about it? No. It says, praise the Lord your God for the good land he's given you. Praise the Lord for the good land he has given you. Today we're blessed and we're very grateful to God for having more than we need or deserve. We're certainly given more than our daily bread. Praise be to God. You pray with me. God of heaven and earth, we thank you for the good things of life, for the simple things of life, for our daily bread. Forgive us, Lord, for stuffing ourselves to the point we forget how good we have it and get bored with your goodness and grace that's staring at us every day, multiple times a day in our meals. Forgive us for our waste of food and water and for neglecting our global neighbors who do not have enough daily bread. Remind us of the needs of the world and inspire us to help in big ways and small according to how we've been blessed by you. Thank you, Lord, for this meal we are about to share together. We're grateful for the seed, the rain, the sunshine, the farmers, and all that was needed to get this food to our plates today. And we remember that you made all things possible because of your love and your grace toward us. Thank you, God. And all God's people said, Amen.